And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Today's guest is Olga Osminkina-Jones, SVP, Global Category Officer for Sexual Well-Being at RB, also known as Reckitt Benckiser Group. She has come a long way in marketing, literally. A native of Siberia, she is a well-traveled internationalist who speaks English and Russian, as well as French and Italian, and has over 20 years of experience in marketing and brand development in the consumer packaged goods sector. A believer that great ideas can come from anywhere, Olga is an advocate of diversity of thought. Groundbreaking ideas, she says, often come from collaboration and different thinking. Today, we're talking with Olga about creativity, diversity, purpose, and higher standards for brands. Olga, welcome to the show. Olga, welcome to the program. I am so glad to be reconnected with you. I remember we first met during your days at Evian when you were doing some amazing brand activations. And I think you had come from P&G in Geneva. And, you know, I was so thrilled that you were an internationalist of the year that year and then went on to Pepsi and some of the things that you did with Life Water, and just very excited now after a year of talking about the Purpose Playbook that here we are again. I know that you're passionate about a number of things, and I'm looking forward to talking about them today. So, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see you virtually. But first of all, why don't we start? You have such an interesting background coming originally from Siberia. Why don't you tell us ultimately why you came to America and a little bit more about the brands that you've worked on?
Yes, sure. It's an interesting question, I have to say, particularly in this day and age, because the main reason and the main driver, if you will, of my desire to come to the United States has been this whole idea of being able to work with people who are very different and diverse in their nature. And when I say diverse, I mean all types of diversity, and most importantly, diversity of thought, and ability to really come up with groundbreaking ideas in all facets of life, thanks to collaboration, you know, of very different thinkers and tolerance to the difference in thinking. And it's very unfortunate to me right now to see that tolerance sometimes gets sidetracked or forgotten. And in this particular period, I think it creates a lot of unnecessary pain to so many.
No, I think you're right. I think it's also interesting, though, that you talk about diversity of thought. And diversity, of course, is such a big word right now, a very loaded word, obviously. But when I think about diversity of thought and your words about collaboration, knowing you a little bit, you know, through your work and through your marketing work, I've always thought that that's one of the things that you've been able to accomplish so well. Whenever you worked with people on any of the brands that you've connected with. And I certainly know that was a big part of your ethos at Pepsi. Can you just tell us a little bit more about how that's worked for you in your marketing roles?
Yes, absolutely. To me, great ideas can come from anywhere. And it's about, you know, listening, being curious, and truly spotting thinking that stands out and thinking that can impact the world, impact society. But at the end of the day, whilst ideas can come from anywhere, creativity is a collaborative process. And what I mean by that is that idea is just a start. To make it real, to make it multifaceted, to make an idea come to life, it takes many brains, many hearts, and many hands. And the more representative those heads, hearts, and hands are of who we're trying to connect with, the more representative they are of difference in thinking, the richer the conversation, the more holistic, in a more holistic way that idea translates itself into an execution. And in the end of the day, that's all that consumer sees is an execution. And I've seen many cases where great ideas got completely lost on the other side, or when we're through with it to the end process. And ideas that started as clear and impactful become quite convoluted or overthought, or maybe ignorant, for the lack of a better word, but not because of the bad intent, simply because of the lack of diverse perspective. And to me, the real power of creativity is in bringing people together and maximizing the potential of what it is we're trying to do or trying to execute.
But you also have to have, you use the word tolerance, you also have to have tolerance and I think respect for other people's ideas and so on. And sometimes that's not easy. I'll tell you something, Olga, that I thought was rather interesting. I was doing a podcast with someone and they mentioned that they thought that meetings today, you know, via video and everyone being an equal square on the screen might have been one of the more inspired ways of communicating, because everyone was suddenly the same and people who didn't feel comfortable speaking up maybe in a meeting before suddenly for some reason, maybe the visual or felt that they could. And she was noticing a big change in that. So I think that's very, very interesting. We're talking a little bit about some of creativity and marketing and what diversity does within creativity and marketing. But I also think that as marketers, we can also use our marketing skills to make a difference. And when I say to make a difference, that can mean not only to the consumer, it can make a difference to, let's hope, you know, the world at large. How do you do that? I mean, you're an expert at it. You know, how do you use marketing to make a difference?
That's an excellent question, Deborah, and it's something that frankly, I think of quite a bit. As you said, I've been thinking about it for a long time, but that whole notion of purpose, you know, purpose has been out there for a while now, and the danger is it started to become a buzzword. Mm-hmm. And indeed, it started to become a job of marketing to put it in a template on a sheet of paper and then almost be able to claim, well, we have a brand with purpose. To me, it's a very dangerous situation if we keep going on that path, because the whole effort started from a place of realization that we live in a time when businesses often have greater powers than some governments and society around the world. And taking that power and putting it to good can effectively not just build the business, but take us as a society to a better tomorrow, while still generating profit and fueling this virtuous cycle more and more and more into the future. But by diminishing the meaning of purpose, mm-hmm. just by making it as a requirement, if you will, in the brand building purpose, that power is being taken away. And in all honesty with you, particularly in more recent months, when you know every possible organization out there wants to speak about brands with purpose, I started really refocusing the conversation away from purpose being a job of marketers to purpose being a job of everyone who works on the business that is truly driven by purpose, that has purpose at its heart. And on brands in particular, taking away this whole notion of, oh, there is positioning and there is purpose, and more just putting very simple mandate that purpose is it. If we do have a powerful purpose that has a potential to identify a fight, a meaningful fight, a meaningful action, in other words, in the society, then that's all that we need, because there's so much that we can do around any purpose that is of that magnitude. And that really is the bottom line. How can we engage each and every function, each and every layer of the business to live and breathe a particular brand or each and every brand in the portfolio, and know and be passionate about the impact that they make every time everyone who works on that brand gets out of bed and goes to work. And that to me is what the future should be like for the businesses that truly embrace it versus making it a job of a brand manager, or to put it on the page.
I think that certainly after going through the COVID situation, I think that we've seen a lot of acts of great generosity and great support. That might be a starting point. I'm not sure that's enough to really, you know, you've got to do much more work to get that to be purposeful. But I'm also wondering, I worry about buzzwords. And I wonder if there should be a different way that we talk about purpose, given what you said about it infusing the whole organization, because if that happens, maybe you don't even have to talk about it being purpose at all anymore, because it becomes, as you say, this passion that everyone knows that they're driven toward. But it's a very interesting moment culturally now, I think, to think about this, because I think that
absolutely
the notion of purpose or whatever you want to say, what companies stand for has to be much larger.
I could have not agreed with you more, Deborah. I think the moments of crisis is when you know, a lot of characters get tested, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at a brand as an individual, as a persona. How authentic is the, let's say, the set of actions that that brand, that persona takes? And I think in the moment of crisis, all of it is under a magnifying glass, and people's emotions are much more charged. Mm-hmm. People's attention is much more, you know, in tune with what's going on, and anything that is shallow, either, you know, best case scenario just becomes noise, or mm-hmm. worst case scenario can blow up and frankly blow back at the company or at that brand in a very negative way. And again, I'm sure all of the intent is the right one, but the more we talk about purpose, the more we try to put it at the center, the more I believe we need to be careful about what do we really do and how do we judge ourselves or evaluate ourselves, you know, to be a bit kinder to mm-hmm. us. But how do we evaluate ourselves in terms of truthfulness of that message? And mm-hmm. you know, if we step back, by default, the definition of purpose is why. Why do we do something? Why do we live in a certain way? And in turn, if that's the why, what it is are you going to do about it? And I think going back to your questions and, you know, observations about the business and organizations, and does the purpose even need to stay around as, you know, under the umbrella of purpose? I would say at the end of the day, business is business, and the only way to deliver on the action and make sure that it materializes, in my humble experience, is to be clear what does success look like, and hence how do we measure it. And in the case of purpose, there has to be a societal impact that comes into play as one of the key KPIs. And again, I'm not sure that has really been fully threaded yet throughout the organizations.
Well, and it can't be easy to necessarily measure societal impact because there's so many factors that can impinge on them. So it would be interesting, like everything else in business, figure out a way to make it neat and tidy and measurable. But I have the feeling that purpose, much like a word like diversity, will just spill over and, you know, will take on a bit of a life of its own. However, it does feel right now that we're living in a cultural moment where things have changed. And mm-hmm. what matters now is very different. Are you feeling the same, both as a marketer and as a human being, as a consumer?
Yes, absolutely. That's the short of it. But and look, I actually, not talking about whose job is what, but it's been a long time since I stopped calling myself a marketer, because again, to me, what we are doing is building businesses that last and make a difference. And that to me is a very important differentiator in a sense of being able to own an agenda of the total business that is led through the brand versus mm-hmm. thinking of how to, you know, only activate touch points. No disrespect to the word marketing, but somehow over years, I think the definition morphed to mean just that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
So what do you call yourself? What do you call yourself? A business person?
A brand builder.
A brand builder. Oh, I like that. Yes. That makes more.
And the reason why brands matter, because they drive the business. And if they don't, then nobody would care about them anyway. And, you know, it's just a matter, it's a simple matter of business again. But, you know, going back to your point around changes and what's going on right now, how it impacted, whether it impacted myself, whether it impacted my family, business, absolutely yes. And I think the biggest, change is that what's at premium today are actually things that we used to take for granted. And I'm talking about sanity. I'm talking about connection. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about freedom. All of those things, particularly in the society where I've been for a long time, now 10 years in the US, 10 years in New York, all of those higher order, very human things and needs, both things that you never thought twice about. It was a given. Mm-hmm. And I think we are finding ourselves in a situation where they're either almost completely taken away or at an extreme premium. And that by default redefines value systems and makes people pause and think what is really important to them. And, you know, after all of it is said and done and we are hopefully on the other side, what it is we will take with us and what it is we want to leave behind. And I think there is a lot of very fundamental human reevaluation of how life shall be moving forward.
No, interesting. I mean, there's no question that this changed the world in a very profound way. But I think it's also changed consumers' expectations of brands. Could you talk a little bit about that? Are we in new territory here?
Look, Deborah, absolutely. And I think it goes back again to the discussion we had around purpose and how important it is today, not just preach, because there is a lot of noise out there, but do. And sometimes actually silent actions are much more powerful than very loud proclamations. And particularly in this moment where people are often lost or confused as to what can they do to help, when you also have brands that speak out loud but don't do anything about actually positively impacting the moment or positively impacting the life in a committed kind of way, then it almost leads to frustration and the top of mind awareness that we always used to track as brand people can turn totally against you in a split second. So yes, the expectations are much higher. People are much more in tune as to what you do as a brand. But in my mind, it's something to celebrate, because these higher standards will push us all as an industry do better and produce better work and really ask ourselves why this work matters.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really amazing. I'm happy to hear you say that. And I've always known that you've not only been an optimist, but in many ways you're also a philosopher. So it's good to hear some of this. I'll just ask you one last question before we go, And I know that you're in a new role now at RB. And what is your vision for that role that you have now as a brand builder? I got the language right. I love it. I love it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, my role is definitely brand and business building one. And I am just, you know, I'm humbled, excited, and exceptionally thrilled to be joining RB, which is where I'm at right now, to be joining RB in this moment of transformation of the total company and very profound focus on the purpose. And when I say that, I don't say it lightly, because under Lakshman Narasimhan's leadership, the commitment is now translating across the total business in all functions, and as a result of it, across all of the brands. And for me, the excitement really stems from the fact that in sexual well-being category, which is the category that I'm now leading globally, the opportunity is immense. It's a category that, you know, you think of when you, let's say, think of pleasurable things in life, and it's a category you think of when you think of hardships in life. And, you know, essentially making an impact on both of those aspects can make a huge difference for very diverse slate of people, for very diverse groups of population, populations across the world.
Yeah, of course, yes, yeah, yeah.
And frankly, you know, we speak a lot about some pragmatic issues, some very unfortunate and very powerful health issues that are caused by the lack of sexual well-being, by the lack of education in that space. But equally, there is so much to be said about just wholeness of a person and wholeness of a human being that is actually universally at risk if people don't have, particularly, you know, either don't have positive first sexual encounters or lack acceptance because of their orientation or because of their, you know, philosophy around their sexuality. And there, it just has never been enough addressed or focused on by any big player in the industry. And RB is so uniquely positioned to do just that. Historically, through acquisitions, we have put together, you know, a portfolio of power brands, and the ones that are particularly known are Durex, KY. Essentially establishing a platform for us to learn about this category, for us to embrace what it means to play in this business. And now with the transformation of the company, with the excitement that I see across our very talented teams about what they can do now that, you know, the purpose is at the heart of the business, as well as, you know, us putting our money where the mouth is, because the transformation is truly end to end. I think there has never been a better time to elevate this category within the business and actually completely reimagine how we can bring it to life and how we can impact people.
Well, that sounds not only very exciting, it also sounds noble and important, and particularly on a global basis. You have an amazing role, and you have every ability to do it very well. And I do hope that you'll come back and talk with us about how that process is going on. You've done some remarkable things with your life, and I know this continues to be the beginning of that. So thank you so much for sharing some very heartfelt and intellectual thoughts with us today. So looking forward to hearing more from you.
You're very kind, Deborah. Thank you, and my pleasure. I would be delighted and honored to return at some point. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Olga, for being a part of today's show and for being an essential part of our marketing and brand building community. You've helped us understand more about the roles of brands in contemporary culture as they aim to meet consumer needs and expectations. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.